Tonight we are going to have a little hiccup in our normal Bible study. We are going to be back in 1 Samuel chapter 13. I thought Ken was going to steal this during Bible study. And I love the way God does these things. It's just the way He puts things together is just, and people that cannot see that or they're missing out, but they're missing out. This is that time where we give that opportunity. If anybody wants to share their personal testimony, then I want to give you that opportunity if you feel led to do that. Okay. Well, let's bless the time in the Word. Father, we just come before You and we do want You to bless this time. Lord, as we open Your Word, as we see what You have for us, Lord, we pray for boldness. We pray for strength. We pray for encouragement. All of these things, Lord, if we don't have them straight from You, I know I'll turn and run. Lord, we need You to lead us and guide us in Your Word tonight and in our lives each day, each step of the way. In Your name we pray. Amen. We are going to be, this is when Saul was going to offer that sacrifice, which he was not supposed to do. That's the passage that we're looking at. And so we're going to look at this tonight. And like I said, it's a little bit different than we normally do on Sunday nights, but it's something that God laid on my heart this past week. And so I want to just kind of dive into it tonight because I feel like it's what I needed and maybe somebody else out there as well. Chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped at Michmash, to the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that they did not come within the day, that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment, the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Let's pray again. Father, bless your word. Take it and use it. In your name we pray. Amen. Here we know kind of the back history that first of all, Saul was not a priest. He was not to offer the sacrifice. But also, a couple chapters back, the plan was Samuel said, "Go wait 7 days, and in 7 days I will come and I will offer the offering. And you just wait the 7 days, and I will be there to offer this offering." And then all of these things started happening. Saul was exactly where God wanted him to be. He had placed him as the king over Israel, because that's what the people wanted. But Saul began to turn after a year, after a couple years, he began to look at himself. And as you read this passage, you see a lot of, "They'll come down on me," or "What will I do?" A lot of pronouns that show that he was thinking about himself. He was concerned about himself. And so as we look at this, I want us tonight to take and look at why he failed. What happened to cause Saul to turn, I think, is something that stops me every day. And it may stop you too from doing what God has called you to do. Because I believe every person in here, God has them where He wants them to be. He has a place. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to guide us into a place where He wants us to be able to glorify Him more, to be able to honor Him, and to be able to minister for Him and to Him. And He puts us in those places. Now, do we always look at it the right way? No, we don't. But he was to wait 7 days. Samuel came at the end of the seventh day. But he was going to offer the offering early on the seventh day. He waited as long. I waited on till the seventh day. And then I felt compelled to offer this offering of supplication to the Lord. If you're supposed to wait 7 days, that doesn't mean six and a third. Are you like me? It's 1 minute past midnight on that seventh day. I'm good. I've waited my God, I'm ready, and you're not here. Samuel didn't show up. You know, God, I'm trying to be patient, I'm trying to wait, and I look for the easy way out. Why did he do that? I think there's three reasons. And we're gonna look at them tonight, because I think those same three reasons are what hinder you and I from being the witness that God calls us to be. He's where he's supposed to be, and God is going to test his faith in the form of the Philistines. Now, I don't know what your Philistines are going to be this week, but you're going to face Philistines. You're going to come up against a Philistine this week that's going to test your faith. I heard a deal this afternoon as I'm sitting there at the house, as I'm listening to a podcast, and it says, what God calls you to, He is going to challenge your faith. Because if your faith is not challenged, you will never stand up to the calling. So when God calls you to something, you better expect to be challenged. Satan is not going to, like we talked about in Bible study, Satan's not going to attack the bars. Satan's going to attack the church. He's going to attack the Christians. He's going to attack us. God is going to allow that to happen to challenge your faith. If you don't have faith that's challenged, you don't have faith. Saul, as he comes into this time, he's waited what he considers long enough. He says, "Bring that burnt offering and that peace offering to me." And he wants to offer it. But as soon as he failed, Samuel was there as soon as he offered. Surely it was okay. He was doing a good thing. He had good intentions. He was offering supplication to the Lord. He was offering a peace offering to God. And how can that be bad? Because he didn't do it the way God said to do it. Too many times we want to do things for God in our way. Well, God, I can see how this would work better, God. Let's just do it my way. God, I did it with your intentions, with good intentions. Well, I can take cyanide because I've got a headache with good intentions, but it's probably not going to work out so well. Well, he might have had good intentions, but the rule was, the law was, that he was not to offer a sacrifice. He had been told that Samuel would be there to offer the sacrifice, but because he didn't want to wait, because he was afraid, he went about things the wrong way. Now, had he had faith, he would have waited till the last minute of that seventh day, and then he would have probably said, okay, God, I'll wait another day. If God didn't have Samuel show up on the eighth day, by faith, I'll wait another day. But that's not what we do. So we have faith or we have fear. Let's look at what he did. The first was he had that fear of abandonment. Tells us down in verse 8 that the people began to scatter from him. He had these men that were around him, 1,000 or so here, 2,000 there, and he had these people around him, 3,000 men of Israel that he had chosen that were soldiers, and they were around him. And all of a sudden, they start to see the Philistines who are aggravated. Now that they are an abomination to the Philistines. And they become, and they gather around Mishmash, and they're in camp there, and it's not looking good because we're way outnumbered. Even his strong men begin to scatter. He had that fear of abandonment. The people he counted on the most were no longer at his side. When God calls you and me to do something, man, when we're here in this church, I feel like God is going to do amazing things through us. But then when he puts me in a position where I see that I am so outnumbered, fear begins to creep in. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever get to that point where, you know, if you're surrounded by Christians and you've got a strong Bible study and you've got, or you're in a Sunday school class or you're eating with the ladies or wherever you happen to be and you know you're surrounded by Christians, it just feels like you are exactly where God wants you to be and everything is going to be good. But you put yourself in a situation because of something that life happens. Your car breaks down or you end up having to be called somewhere on a job or you're in a location and when you know you are so outnumbered by the world, you begin to not feel like you're in the right place. Saul, even though he's surrounded, even though the Philistines are encamped around them, he's still where God wanted him to be. So many times you and I, because of who's around us, we feel like that determines whether we're where God wants us or not. I can't let the people around me determine what I think about my relationship with God. Kind of like we talked about this morning. I need to know that whether I'm surrounded by this group or this group, as long as I know that my relationship with God, that He's placed me in that spot, that's all I have to worry about. Saul was worried that those closest, those that supported him, those that were around him, began to abandon him, and he could not handle the thought of being abandoned. Because if those closest to him abandon him, well, if I don't offer this sacrifice to God, maybe God's going to abandon me too. And so I need to offer this sacrifice. I need to offer this sacrifice so that God doesn't abandon us. That when we are, when I'm attacked, I'll know that God is there. And so why did he offer that sacrifice? It wasn't to honor God. It was to protect himself. So many times we worship God and we praise God out of what we can get out of it. And we are always blessed when we praise God because God inhabits the praises of his people. But if the only reason I am praising God and worshiping God is because of what I can get out of it, that praise isn't getting through the ceiling. That worship is never near the throne of God. But if I worship and praise God for the right reasons, to honor him, to bring him glory, then it doesn't matter who's around me. We know in Hebrews 13:5 it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whether I'm in that whether I'm in that group of people that in those times when I feel like I'm right where I should be, or whether I'm in that group of people that I feel like, man, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm beginning to question. Maybe I'm beginning to fear that I'm not where I should be. What we have to understand is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to make sure our relationship with him is in the right spot. Now, he may place us, he wants us to be surrounded by Christians. Don't get me wrong. He wants us to be surrounded by people that will lift us up and challenge us and draw us into a closer relationship with him. And iron sharpens iron and those type of things. But there's also times when he puts us in the middle of the darkness so that we will shine the brightest. And so you can't think just because you're surrounded by some people, you're put into a position to where the people around you are not your close-knit Christian friends, that you're in the wrong spot. Because it's the darkness that needs the light. All we have to understand, all Saul would have had to understand. Now the Holy Spirit didn't indwell Saul like he does us. But the Holy Spirit had been with him. He was told that. All he had to know is that he was where God wanted him and he was honoring God by being the king that God wanted him to be. But he chose to think about himself. It became about him instead of about God. And for you and I, as long as we keep it about Jesus, as long as we keep it about Jesus, we will know it's about that peace that we talked about that comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When it's about that, then we can know, no matter which situation I'm in, that I don't have to fear of ever being abandoned. Even when the people around me, I can't see them. Even when I can't hear those people that are always there to support me, that God has placed around me to lift me up, when I can't feel them, when I can't see them, I still know my God is there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I don't have to worry about being abandoned. Next thing Saul does is he begins to have that fear of the enemy. Thousands and thousands, chariots, people as many as the sand of the seashore are against him. There are those times when you feel so outnumbered. You know what God's called you to do, but it seems like every direction you look it's an uphill climb. There are people that are against you, and maybe they're not against you, but they're definitely not for you. And you begin to think about all of those things. You begin to think about, if this is the people I can see that are against me, what about where it says that our battle is against principalities and powers of darkness that I can't see? And you begin to think about those things. I begin to think about those things, and I begin to know that every time I step out on my faith to do what God calls me to do, I know that Satan is sitting there waiting to attack me. And I begin to have this thought of, I know that as I walk around that corner, I know that as I try to climb that hill, I know that Satan is waiting to attack me. Saul had that fear. Not only were his men abandoning him, but the enemy was so prevalent. The enemy was right there, encamped around them. We need to understand that, yes, that enemy is there. We'll see physical people that are against us, that will not like us for whatever reason. I think I've shared before that I had a young lady tell me one time when I was subbing that when I introduced myself, she said, "Yeah, I know you hate me." I was like, "Ma'am, you know, this is a young girl. I said, I don't even know you." "Yeah, but my church told me that you're the youth pastor at the Baptist church and you hate us." And I was like, "I don't even know you." But the enemy is against us and they're going to do everything they can to attack us. Emotionally, mentally, physically, they're going to do everything they can to attack us. Those that are against faith in Jesus. And if we can see those, we know that those principalities and powers of darkness, those darts are out there, that they're waiting to attack us. And we begin to have a fear that if that's what we're fighting, how can I fight those? Because the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have to remember who is not only on our side. We can look back at Elijah when he tells his servant, you know, the servant is panicking because here they are, they're surrounded, and Elijah prays, "Open my servant's eyes," and he opens his eyes and the mountains are filled with chariots of fire. That's what we have outside of us. Just to know that when the enemy is there and you can see them, know that we have the chariots of fire on our side. That should be enough. But there's so much more. Because that's the angels that we see out there. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came to indwell in me. The Spirit of the living God lives in me. And I have that power. You have that power inside you. Sometimes we read that verse, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you because he made the world. And he's there because he loves you. And Jesus says, I'm not going to lose anybody that God's gave me. And he gives us that assurance. He gives that comforter to come inside us that we know that he's there to comfort us in our time of trouble and he's there to lead us and guide us. But he's also there to empower us to be bold and strong in the Lord. We have to understand that, yes, that power is out there, and yes, we respect that power because we know it's against us. We know it's against God and we can't blow it off, but we have to also know that the power that's there is much stronger. We just need to tap into it. Saul was afraid that he was being abandoned. He was afraid that the enemy was going to overpower him. And then he had a fear of failure. And I need to offer this because as the king of Israel, I'm going to fail. I haven't offered the right sacrifices. We've not offered a sacrifice to God. And yes, he did the wrong thing. But it was because of these fears. That fear of failure. The king of Israel was going to be defeated certainly because of everything that was happening. Because the men were leaving. Because the enemy was so strong. But the worst thing was that inside, I'm going to fail. It's on me. I've got to do something. They're going to attack me. They're going to take me over. They're going to win this battle because I'm going to fail. And I don't want to fail. There are times when God calls you to do something, when He calls me to do something, and it just seems like, Lord, what were you thinking? You ever been there? I've been there for 3.5 years. And I am telling you every day when I wake up, I say, Lord, thank you, but what were you thinking? And I say that jokingly, but it's the truth. Because there are times when He puts us in places where we just think, God, I'm going to fail you. And I have that fear of failing God. We have that fear of failing. We know God has placed us in that spot. We know He has brought people before us to testify to and to witness to and to share with. It's like, God, I'm going to fail you. You know why I think that? Because I look back so many times at my past failures. I see where I've failed Him in the past, and because of that, I have a fear of failing Him in the future. Those times are going to come, but understand this. You're going to fail when you depend on yourself. But understand this also. He tells us, and I just lost my verse. I don't know where it's at. But anyway, it is the verse that it's in Philippians 1:6. I don't know where that just came. So, where He says, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What He starts in you, He's going to finish. You may think you fail. But like God's Word, when it's set out for Him, it will not return to Him void, but will accomplish everything He sets it out to do. When His Spirit is within you and you follow Him and you seek to honor Him, He's going to bring you to a point. Maybe it's in a fiery furnace. Maybe it's in a lion's den. Maybe it's in a jail cell. Maybe it was James where he died. He had to have thought as they're taking him to end his life, God, I failed you. No, he didn't. He was where God wanted him. We have that fear of failure, but we have to understand that we're all failures apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from that power we talked about, apart from what God has done in our life, is doing in our life, is going to do in our life, I'm a failure. But that's not where I'm at. Where I'm at is knowing and understanding that God started this. I'm going to do the best I can and leave the results up to Him. Because if I think I can do something to sway it one way or the other, then I'm thinking I'm God. And I'm not that powerful. So as we look at Saul's choices based on fear, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of the enemy, and the fear of failure, you and I face those every day. We face those every day. God's going to call you to do something somewhere when you're going to be by yourself. But you're never abandoned. You're never alone. He's going to call you to do something where the enemy is out there. Some of them you'll see, some of them you won't. But greater is He that is in you than anything you'll ever face, whether you see it or not. And you're going to have that fear of failure. And I think that's the toughest one. Because I can see how people around me lift me up, but God has got me through those times in the past, and He will get me through those again. He will get you through them again. You and I know the enemy's out there, but we know the enemy's already lost. The battle's over. The battle belongs to the Lord. We don't see how it's going to work out, but I know I've read the end of the book and we win. And so, that's a tough one. But that hardest one for me is that fear of I'm going to fail God. But like we're talking about on Wednesday nights, He is seated at the throne of God interceding for me. So that every time I do fail, He's saying, no, He's mine. I died for Him. I died for that failure. I've wiped that failure away. So whatever God is calling you to do, you may not be the king of Israel, but wait patiently and fear not, because greater is He that is in you. And God is going to complete everything He started to do in you. Man, I feel like He's got a long ways to go, but I know the promise is He's going to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for, Lord, this story that we know it didn't turn out right. We know He made the mistakes, and we know the consequences that He had to deal with, God. We know that's the idea of the story, that as You tell it. But God, today, tonight, I pray that we would understand that we would not make those same mistakes. Lord, You've given us Your Word so that we would learn from it. Lord, help us to see. Help us to understand. But more than anything, help us to know that You are our victory. You are the one we adore. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.